Gaddafi's death isn't a watershed moment only for Libya. His 42 years in power had an impact outside Libya, too. The World's Matthew Bell looks back on Muammar Gaddafi's life.
By his late 20s, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi had led a revolution that toppled Libya's aging king. The handsome and flamboyant military man assumed absolute power in 1969. Gaddafi quickly shut down British and U.S. military bases. He infuriated other Arab leaders and even fought a border war with Egypt. During that first decade in power, the Libyan leader published his famously wordy and incoherent Green Book. In 21,000 words, the brother leader laid out the theoretical basis for his rule. But it was brutal repression that kept him and his family in control through the years. By the mid-1980s, Gaddafi became a household name in this country for being linked to deadly acts of international terrorism.
This mad dog of the Middle East has a goal of a world revolution, Muslim fundamentalist revolution, which is targeted on many of his own Arab compatriots.
Ronald Reagan blamed Gaddafi's government for the 1986 bombing that killed American servicemen in a Berlin nightclub. The president retaliated with airstrikes, including the destruction of the leader's headquarters in Tripoli. Gaddafi was long known for his outlandish dress, his portable Bedouin tent, and his wild statements, like in a 1984 interview with NBC Television. It came after an incident at the Libyan embassy in London where a British policewoman was shot and killed by someone inside the building. Here's Gaddafi speaking through an interpreter, offering an alternative explanation of how the officer was killed.
I think the policemen, British policemen, killed themselves because they shot during their attack.
Gaddafi went on to say his embassy was attacked by British police. During the 1970s and 80s, Gaddafi provided support to militants in Africa, to Palestinian militant groups, and even the Irish Republican Army. But the 1988 bombing of a Pan Am jetliner over Lockerbie, Scotland, was a low point for Gaddafi's relations with the West. President-elect George H.W. Bush said those responsible for the bombing should be punished decisively.
Most imprudent thing a responsible official could do is to discuss what kind of action would be taken or would not be taken. That would be imprudent, and I wouldn't do that. But when I say punish severely, that's what I mean.
Things changed in 2003 when Libya admitted responsibility for the Lockerbie bombing. It paid reparations to victims' families, and Gaddafi agreed to abandon his pursuit of weapons of mass destruction. The U.S. and Britain patched things up with the colonel diplomatically, and Western oil companies soon returned to Libya to do business. Gaddafi's relations with his longtime enemies improved for a time. Then came the revolutions in Tunisia and Egypt. The revolt against Gaddafi erupted in February. As NATO bombing gave anti-Gaddafi forces the upper hand, the colonel spoke with the BBC and seemed to be detached from reality. Gaddafi said it was al-Qaeda who seized weapons and took to the streets to terrorize the Libyan people. He described the rebels as kids on drugs, and he said all his people still loved him. Muammar Gaddafi was defiant to the end. He returned to his hometown and said he would die as a martyr before he ever surrendered, and he was right. The ruler who came to power in a revolution more than 40 years ago and preached a revolutionary ideology was brought down by another revolution. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.